I want to say thanks to all of them. And if you have it in mind to volunteer and help out at the festival next year, you'd be most welcome doing that. And there's always something to do.
I'm ready when you are, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Brian Bowers, and I believe he is ready to play. And so I'm going to get out of your way. Please help me to welcome Brian Bowers.
Hi, you guys. Well, I'm really pleased to be here with you. And I'm going to first play for you something here to get my fingers loose. This here is an old fiddle tune called the St. Anne's Reel. Well, now you see me struggling with this new strap. I had a strap I've had for 30 years, and about 2 weeks ago in mid-fiddle tune on stage, the 30-year-old strap dry-rotted right in the half. Harp started to fall to the floor. I caught it. Of course, the cosmic question that immediately crossed my mind was, is that the way I'll go out too? Dry rot right in the middle of a fiddle tune. Here's a little bit of the St. Anne's Reel. Oh, looky here. We got the kids' little parade going. Looky there. Yeah, buddy. My dad used to have a saying when things were going good, he'd say, if it gets any better than this, they ain't going to invite us. Here's the St. Anne's. Let's see here. I was raised in Virginia. I live in the Northwest now, but I was raised on the farm. We had all kind of animals. I just liked, as a young kid, animals, and so I learned animal songs a lot of times. So here's a little song I kind of like. This is a Greg Brown song. This is a cute one, one of his early ones. I don't know if he even does it anymore. This is called The Four Wet Pigs. It goes like this. Here's a little song about four wet pigs. Here's a little song about four wet pigs. Two of them little and two of them big. They danced all night at the Pigtown Jig. The two that were little were just half grown. The two that were big were big as a barn. Big as a barn, tall as a tree. Took them on down to the factory. Slice them into bacon, cut them into ham, chop them into hot dogs, squeeze them into Spam, throw their little eyes out in the rain, pickle their feet and scramble their brain. Here's a little song about two wet pigs, leaning on a slop trough, smoking their cigs, hoping to God they never get big, they danced all night at the Pigtown Jig. here's one about man's best friend called the dog. Well, the whole thing started because it looked like fun when other people had a dog. I'm gonna get me one, I said. Have a little friend around the place. So I went to the pet store down the street, and lying in the middle of a canine heap was a sleepy little puppy with a quiet sort of a face. Well, the next few weeks were certainly strange, between the barking and the thinking up of names. Old Bluey wasn't, and Spot didn't really apply. So I settled for Harry just because that's how he is and that's how he was. And that's how the house gets more and more as days go by. Now, sometimes friends drop by for a couple of beers. We all sit around, take turns rubbing his ears and calling him. It's been that way ever since he's a pup. And he sleeps in the bed, and when I turn over, he turns over, and then I turn over, he turns over, I turn over, and we get up. Now, for a while, I was careful where I sat. The rug got funky, and he chewed up my hat. Still happens once in a while when he gets mad. But it's been pretty even after all. I taught him what I know about playing ball, and he helped me get rid of a lot of stuff I used to have. Now as my life keeps moving through the different conditions, the big changes come with the slightest decision. And you're in for surprise, you think you got it figured, I've found. 'Cause who ever thought I'd ever dote on a pet? But looking back now, I always forget how I filled the time before my dog was around. Well, one of the great things about my childhood was that whole thing on Sundays. It was the one day of the week my dad cooked breakfast, so I'd always wake up in the morning up in the bed to the smell of jet fuel coffee boiling up in the can downstairs and bacon frying, come down the stairs, have the big old breakfast. And then Mom and Dad and I'd get in the round back 39 Plymouth, and off we'd go out to the country to Aunt Bess and Uncle George's house, because we would have a family dinner out there every Sunday for all the Bowers clan at 1 o'clock. Well, we'd get out there about 9 in the morning. I was a little kid them days, and so I'd go out with the other kids. We'd play hide and seek and tag and king of the mountain and such. And then, right on the stroke of 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, out on the porch would come my Aunt Bess. Now, my Aunt Bess was a powerful woman. She was a woman of few words, but this did not diminish her power. She'd come out on the porch, put her hands down her apron pockets, wouldn't say a word, just stand there and look across the yard at us kids. Us kids would see her. That was the end of all the games. We'd come running right over because none of us wanted to miss the Aunt Bess show on Sunday mornings. But once she saw we were coming, she'd come down off the porch and she'd start walking barefoot across the yard towards the chicken pen. And as she walked across the yard, she'd sing a little melody. Doo 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 doo. And then she'd cackle a little bit. She had a kind of a cackle. Now, she'd head towards the chicken pen. Now, the chicken pen had that circle kind of chicken wire all around it to keep the chickens in. And then it had the same kind of circle chicken wire on the top to keep the hawks out. And then at one end of the chicken pen was the hen house where the chickens slept at night. And at the far end of that, with a separate door on it, was where we kept the feed. Well, Aunt Bess would get in the feed part of the hen house, and she'd take a cob of corn and put it down in the hand grinder, turn the crank with her hand. Out the bottom would come the cob, clean as a whistle, not a kernel of corn left on it. And out the spout, into a little bucket that she'd hung on the spout, would come a river of golden kernels of corn. She'd keep cranking the cobs through till she filled up the bucket. Then she'd take the bucket off the spout, and she had two nails on the inside wall with her feed apron hung there, facing pockets out towards her. She'd fill up all the pockets of the feed apron with the corn kernels. And then she'd come out of there and latch the gate, tie that feed apron around her waist. Then she'd walk barefoot towards the chicken pen gate. What if chickens would see her coming? They'd come crushing up to the gate. Aunt Bess would get up to the gate. She'd say, "Get back, you dumb chickens, get back." The chickens would back up. She'd open the gate, step in, latch it behind her. And then, because she was barefoot, she'd walk ever so carefully up through the chicken pen till she got to her spot where she'd kicked away all the rocks. And then she'd stand there, right in that spot to do what she needed to do. Well, the chickens would be looking up expectantly. Aunt Bess would reach into her feed apron, get a couple double handfuls of corn kernels, throw them down on the ground. The chickens would go crazy. They'd be looking up for more. She'd keep throwing it down. About a minute later, she'd have the chickens to where they were. Still looking up for more. She'd keep throwing it down. About 2 minutes later, she'd have them chickens to where they were. It was at this point every Sunday morning that the chickens made the same bad mistake. They stopped looking up. Wrong thing to do with Aunt Bess in the chicken pen. So once she had them poor dumb chickens suckered into thinking that them feet of hers down by their heads and the body attached to the feet presented no more danger to them than a stump of a dead tree, well, she'd throw the last few dibs on the ground. And then she'd stand there and look up like this at the blue sky, like she didn't even know that the chickens were down there at her feet. Us kids, meanwhile, knew that Aunt Bess never give it away when she's going to make her move. So we'd be watching real close. We'd get to watching so close that we'd forget that we were leaning in on that circle chicken wire. Pretty soon we'd have circle marks all over our foreheads and our faces and our noses. We'd pull back but keep a sharp eye on her because she was good. She'd never give it away when she's going to make her move. Oh, a robin might fly by. Oh, she'd look at that robin like she'd never seen a robin in her life. And if you were fool enough to watch that robin and watch her head instead of watching her hands, well, you might miss it when all of a sudden, boom, down she'd go. She'd come up with a chicken in each hand by the head, and she'd go, whoop, whoop, whoop. Two bodies would go flying off in two different directions, and here'd be a blinking-eyed chicken head, one in each hand. Now, us kids were scared to death of Aunt Bess. When she'd say jump, we'd say how high. And then, oh, I tell you, you know, she'd holler to us kids, now get in here, you kids, and get these chickens up on the clothesline now. So we'd come in there. It was pandemonium in the chicken pen. The chickens that had got their heads are running around making a lot of racket. The ones that ain't got their heads are trying to run around, but they ain't doing a very good job. Meanwhile, here's us kids with our Sunday best clothes on, trying to keep from getting any blood spatters on them. And we're up there tying them up on the clothesline by their feet so the blood will drip out of their heads, necks, down into the dust. Aunt Bess putting an evil eye on us the whole time. As soon as we get them tied up on the clothesline by their feet, you know, I told you Aunt Bess is powerful, and I meant it. Never once all them Sundays of my childhood did I ever hear her call for Uncle George. But the millisecond them chickens is tied up on the clothesline by their feet, she'd just turn and look at the house. And out of the house, like he was on a string, would come Uncle George, carrying a big cauldron of water, boiling water, whining every step of the way. I know I'm going to get scalded one of these Sunday mornings, cleaning and plucking these damn chickens. I've cleaned and plucked enough chickens to suit me for the rest of my life. I tell you, I ain't going on like that. And so he'd clean and pluck them chickens, and about 2 hours later, we'd be eating them. And I never, ever thought anything about it. I thought that's the way everybody lived their life. And then years later, I was at a festival playing, and a fellow was playing under this big old oak tree. And he proceeded to start in singing this song. And I thought, what is that? I know that melody. I stopped and listened. I said, yeah, I know the melody, but I didn't know it had words. That's the song Aunt Bess used to sing on the way to get our Sunday chickens for Sunday dinner. And this is it. This is the cluck old hen. but a gentleman. You cannot persuade her by gun or lariat to lay eggs for the proletariat. Pluck old hen and pluck in squall, ain't laid an egg since way last fall. Pluck old hen, pluck when I tell you, pluck old hen or am I gonna sell you? Since Lord knows when, says her pay don't meet her needs, and she ain't a gonna work for chicken feed. Pluck old hen, pluck and squall, ain't laid an egg since way last fall. Pluck old hen, pluck when I tell you, pluck old hen, or am I gonna sell you? I want to dedicate this next song to Susan Boyer. She is the real deal, rooted in music, rooted in kindness, rooted in the salt of the earth approach to life and music and her family. And I took a shine to this tune. I learned this. It's a Scottish fiddle tune named The Languor of Love. And it's set to the old True Thomas legend, in which True Thomas, in the woods, happens upon seeing the elf queen and is bewitched by her and has the temerity to kiss her lips, at which point she informs him that he will be her slave for the next 7 years and never seen on earth during this time. This is True Thomas. Thomas lay on Huntley Bank, and he beheld a lady gay, a lady that was brisk and bold, came riding down by Alden Tree. Her shirt was of the grass green silk, her mantle of the velvet fine, that each toss her horse's mane rang 50 silver bells and nine. Thomas, he pulled off his cap, and falling down seen your like on earth I've never seen. And as he looked into her eyes, blind in love he fell, then said she, if you will dare to kiss my lips, sure of your body I shall be. Since you have kissed my two lips, it's with me now that you must ride. You must serve me 7 years through weal or woe, as chance be tied. They mounted on her milk-white steed, waded through red blood above the knee, for all the blood that's shed on earth runs through the streams in that country. Soon they came to a garden green. She pulled an apple from a tree. Take this, true Thomas, for your wage. You'll have a tongue that never lies. Be careful in your silences, as you are careful what you say, and may your truth outlive them all. For as I say, so it must be. Set with thorns and briars, that is the path of righteousness, though after it but few inquire. And seeing up that wide, wide road that lies across the lily leaven, that is the path of wickedness, though some call it the road to heaven. They rode on and farther on, wading rivers above the knee, and they saw neither sun, but they heard the roaring of the sea. He's got a cloak of the elven cloth, a pair of shoes of the velvet green. Until 7 years were gone and past, true Thomas on earth was never seen. He's got a cloak of the elven cloth, a pair of shoes of the velvet green. Until 7 years were gone and past, true Thomas on earth was never seen. Well, one of the great things about my childhood was being raised around call and answer music. We had the field hands working in the fields, hoeing the weeds out of the peanuts, sunrise to sunset, 50 cent a day wage, singing call and answer songs. We had the Gandy dancers coming down the railroad tracks with the big prize bars and heavy steel sledgehammers lining up the tracks. We had the call and answer grade school songs. We had the call and answer everything. Even gospel songs were full of call and answer. So I thought I'd do an old call and answer song for you here. This is one called Liza Jane. It goes like this. Ooh now, little Liza Jane. Hey now, little Liza Jane. Hey Liza, little Liza Jane. Oh Liza, little Liza Jane. This time you got the callbacks by yourself. Hey now hey now, whoa, Liza, whoa, Liza. How many nickels would it take? See your pretty little body shake. Save my nickels, save my dimes. See you shake it all the time. Hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now, hey Liza, oh Liza, I got a gal live on the hill, she won't do it but her sister will, yeah Liza. Enjoyed playing for y'all.